So let's get our Bibles out, please. I'm glad to see that, you know, the majority of you came back. I assume that you want to be disciples. Who still wants to be a disciple? Okay, cool. I'm supposing that because you're here, that is true, and this is really good. And just a little refresher course. I've been telling you, you know, about discipleship, and I told you that there's three different classifications of our spiritual journey. And I told you the bottom one, people come in and accept the Lord, they're on the bottom rung of their spirituality. And what's that called? Infant stage, right? And I said, as we continue to mature in our faith, we move up to the middle one. What's that called? Youth. And then we move up, hopefully, to the very last one, which is called what? Mature. Did I tell you what Ruth Graham had on her funeral stone? Did I tell you that? Isn't that cool? Work completed. Thank you for your patience. How many could say that would be on yours too? Work completed. Thank you for your patience, right? How many know the Lord's still doing a work in you too? How many know we got a long ways to go, right? And I told you that, you know, as we move up in our spirituality, I told you that a disciple means what? Three things. A learner, an imitator, and a follower, right? A learner, an imitator, and a follower. A learner from Christ, an imitator of Christ, and a follower of Christ, right? And I told you that as we continue to grow in our faith, I told you that a disciple always bears what? Fruit, much fruit, not a little fruit, much fruit. There's not an option. And a disciple loves the brethren. How many love somebody in this room? Last week I told you that there's some prices to pay in being the disciple. And that's why a lot of folks aren't one. There's really not. Let's just, can anybody take the truth? You know, not be offended, right? Let's be a little bold this morning, okay? It doesn't take a lot of work to go to church. I mean, it really, truly doesn't. Really. And some of us, really, truly, you know, when we were kids, we went to church because our parents made us go. How many of you know that's true? Well, I want to cut you loose right now from those requirements. Really. And even your mom's here. I'm cutting you loose. She never made you go. My mom is usually here. She doesn't make me go. So I'm letting you know right now, I'm cutting you loose from the requirement of being forced to go. Because your Father in heaven doesn't make you go. You get to choose. You no longer have to come. Well, Ruby has to come. Ruby, but I want you to come because you're so gorgeous, okay? But you know what? I'm cutting you loose now from the requirement. You do not have to come. And coming to church is not that hard, really. You get up on a Sunday morning, you're not going to do anything anyhow. You get up, you get a shower, and you get dressed, you go to church. It's not that big a deal, really. And so I'm letting you know, going to church is not that big a deal. It's not a much of an effort, really. But being a disciple, it's hard. That takes work. That takes work. And so I told you that being a disciple, there's a cost you have to pay for that. It's cost you something. And I told you that although we often say that grace is free, and it is, even free costs somebody something. If Sissy came in here and all gave you a Bible for free, it still cost her something, didn't it? She had to go buy them. And so, grace is free to you without cost, but it cost Jesus everything. It cost him his life. It cost him who he was. It cost him. And so I told you, picking up your cross is going to cost you something. I told you that denying yourself is going to cost you something. I told you that dying to self is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. And that's why a lot of people who come to church aren't disciples. They're attendees. That's what they are. Now, I'm not saying that attendees are bad. Attendees are great. I'm hoping someday we open the door and 500 attendees come in. It'd be great. Then we can build our own church. It'd be great. But I'd rather have 50 disciples than 100 attendees. How many agree with that? We get a lot more done with a lot more disciples, right? We would. And I told you, and I've been telling you, that not everybody can be a disciple. I told you about the cost, but today, I'm going to switch gears and tell you about the rewards. Why would you want to be one? So far, Pastor, you told me about the cost of it. You told me I'm going to deny myself, pick up my cross, lose my friends. People are going to hate me. They're going to talk about me. They're going to persecute me. Where do I sign up for this? Where do I sign up for this? Well, I want to tell you today, okay, well, there's rewards too. We're going to talk about the benefits of being a disciple. So I need you to turn into your Bibles, please. And today we're going to talk about the benefits of being a disciple. It's just not all work. There's also some rewards. And I want you to turn to your Bibles, and I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1.
Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him.
All right. So the first reward that we get for being a disciple is we get God as our Father. Now, chances are pretty good that in all of the things for which you gave praise for this morning, and I don't know how many of you gave praise this morning or how many of you will give praise in Thanksgiving today, but the question I have for you, if you woke up this morning and all you have left to your name is what you gave thanks to God for yesterday, would you be happy? Let me run that by you one more time. It's pretty profound. If you woke up this morning and all you had left was what you gave thanks to God for yesterday, would you be okay with that? How many would not be okay with that? Did you give thanks to your spouses? Did you give thanks for your friends? Did you give thanks for your grandbabies? Did you give thanks for your children? Did you give thanks for your job? Did you give thanks for your house? I mean, so what did you give thanks for? Well, probably chances are pretty good that did you give thanks for God as your Father? I mean, when's the last time you said, you know what, I just thank you for being my Abba Daddy? When did you do that? Did you do that recently? Now, you know, I don't know whether you're telling me the truth, but you know he's telling you the truth, right? Did you give thanks for him for being your Abba Daddy? He's your Father. And that's a great reward that he's your Father. So what does that mean? I mean, you just prayed, our Father, which art in heaven. I heard you pray that. I know you know how to say that. But what does that mean? What does that mean that God is your Father? What does that mean? Well, let's turn in our Bibles and let's see what that means to us as disciples. I need you to turn to James chapter 1, verse 17.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning.
Wow. Every good and perfect gift comes from where? God. Now I want you to really sit back in your chairs for just a second and listen to me. I need you to listen to me. You don't need to write anything or read anything. I need you to listen to me. Now, when you think about the gifts that God has given to you and make a list of them, I'd be kind of curious to know what you would list. But here's one thing I want you to grasp a hold of, what I want to explain to you. 57 years ago, my Abba Daddy, created in heaven a wonderful gift. And he took his hands, 57 years ago, he took his hands and he created a little girl. In her mother's womb, he created her. Beautifully and wonderfully made was she. He gave her the hair color that she has. He gave her the eye color that she has. He gave her the sparkles in her eyes. He said to all the angels in heaven, look at this one. How beautiful she is. Wait till her mother sees her. See, before she ever took a breath, God already saw her. And God called all the angels in heaven and said, look how beautiful she is. I think I'm going to have her mother call her Sissy. And 17 years after that, he brought the gift to me. And he said to me, I have something for you. Stand up a minute, gift. He said to me, I have something for you. And I created it with my own hands. And I love her. And I'm going to give her to you. Love her as I have loved her. Honor her as I have honored her. Respect her because I'll be watching. How many of you have a gift like this in your life? Anybody got a gift like this in your life? Thank you so much. I love you. Every good and perfect gift comes from where? God the Father. And I would be happy if he stopped with her, but he didn't. He gave me four more. Tommy, Shauna, Jesse, and Desiree. I'm going, oh, you are overwhelming me. And he didn't stop there. He kept on giving. Riley, Jonah, Layla, Selena, Jacob, and James. And if he keeps on giving, I'll be happy. They might not be real happy, but I'll be happy. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father. Wow. What gifts we have been given. How many got gifts like that in your life? Did you thank him this morning for the gifts that you got? I don't know whether you did or you didn't. How many got a gift of a friend? Do you know that's a gift? Did you know that if you have somebody to talk to tomorrow when you go to work, that's a gift? And did you thank him for that? Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. And when he gives you gifts, he doesn't give you little ones. Oh, even the little ones are pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. How many have some gifts that are pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing? Oh, and where does he put them? Under a rock so you can't find them? No, he puts them where? On your lap. That's a pretty good benefit, isn't it? How many love to have an Abba Daddy like that? Wow! An Abba Daddy that gives me all that? Oh, wow! Cool beans! One benefit of having God as your Father is gifts from heaven. Let's turn in our Bibles, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God.
Wow. Comfort in all of our afflictions. How many of you are afflicted at time to time? Pretty universal. Fact is, if I was to go outside that door and on the highways and byways of life, and I would ask people, how many of you are afflicted from time to time? What percentage of people do you think would say, yes, 100%? What if they really rich, you know, got tons of money? They're still afflicted. What about middle income? They're still afflicted. What about homeless people? They're still afflicted. You know, it's universal, right? Who suffers afflictions? Everybody. But not everybody finds comfort, do they? Not everybody. Now, I want you to sit back again one more time and don't write anything, don't read anything. I just want you to pay attention to me. You go out on a really nice summer night, and you go up in Arizona somewhere where there's no streetlights, and you look up on a clear summer night. What do you see? How many? Do they even know? And when you look up, and you see what you see. Is that all there is? No. Fact is, that's all you can see. Because there are universes beyond those universes, aren't there? In theory, if there's another planet like ours somewhere way out there in the universe, guess what they're doing? They're looking up and they're seeing all that too. And how did all of that get there? I want to let you know right now, it's not from the star registry. I want you to know right now, it's not the star registry. Don't call a phone so they're going to name a star off you, because I want to burst your bubble. There's probably got at least 10 people got that same star you got. And you look up and you see all of that. How did all of that get there? Now, I know what you're going to say. God did it, right? But I want you to fathom it. You need to fathom it. Fathom this. When you look up and you see all of that, that you see, if some of us would say the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper and Sissy's favorite one, Ryan Bell, we look and we see all that. Did you know that one of those stars that you see, our solar system could fit in it? That's hard to fathom. It's hard for a finite mind like mine, and believe me, it's the finitest of all of them probably in this room. Finite is the word? It is now. My finite mind, how can it grasp infinite truth. I can't. But how did that all get there? Now, you might want to think to yourself that God, you know, took something. No, you know how it got there? He what? Spoke it. Now, that's hard for my finite mind who struggles with bikes putting together. Thinking that God could just say, stars, what? Be there. And guess what happened? There they were. And that God, who did that? Now get ready for this, if you can grasp it. That God, who did that, wants to spend time with me. That when I'm suffering, and when I'm in anxiety, and when I am tearful, that God who said, stars, be there, wants to spend quiet time with who? Me. Come to me, all of ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take upon me my yoke, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit. And when you think about the yoke, that puts what? Two people together. That he wants me to be yoked to him. How is that possible? Well, my finite mind can't grasp that. But I can no longer grasp how a computer works either, but I use it. How I hit send and that message goes to Sue's desk, I don't get it. But I know when I hit send, what? It goes. I don't know how, but it goes. You see, my finite mind can't wrap my arm around that truth. I don't get it. How is it that I can be on my cell phone and talk to Hawaii? I don't understand it. But just because I don't understand it doesn't make it not true. And let me run you something by something. Just because you can't grasp it doesn't mean it's not true. Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's not reality. Just because you can't grasp it doesn't mean it's not true. God, the creator of everything that ever was, is my comfort. Who has him for your comfort too? Yeah. That's a big benefit, right? That's a huge benefit. And let me run this by you. You don't have to make an appointment either. And let me run this by you. It doesn't matter what your HMO deductible is. It doesn't matter what your benefit limit is. You can call on him, guess how many times? All the time. And guess what? He always has time. Isn't that something? Now, reality number two, hard thing to grasp. How can he spend time with me and Sue at the same time? I don't get it. With my busy schedule, I try to do two and three and four things at the same time, but I don't do them very well. But God can spend time with me and Sue and Lori and Karen and Sissy at the same time. Now, how can my finite mind wrap around that? I can't, but I know that he does. Because I know every time I've called upon him, guess what's happened? He's been there. How many of you say the same thing? Every time you call upon him, he's been there. Now listen to me. You've got to grasp this. Church attendees sometimes can't grasp that. And you want me to tell you how I know? Because my phone is always ringing. And guess who they want to talk to? Me. And I say to them, hey, I'm kind of busy, but I know somebody's got all kind of time. Well, who's that? God. Oh, yeah, that's right. I got some good news for you, church. You get to call him before you call me. And chances are, if you call him before you call me, guess who you don't have to call? Now, I'll let you know. I won't be bothered. I still feel important. But you got to call him first. Because you can call him 24/7. Let me understand that truth. It's true. It's so true. And we get that benefit of being a disciple. We get to have God of all comfort. Wow. We get all kind of gifts. We get all kind of comfort. And we get one of the most important things. And I know that you are going to love this. Hebrews 12 verses 5 to 11. Here comes one of the best gifts that you could ever get. Wow. This is going to just set you on fire. A little lengthy, but it's worth it.
And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. How shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it.
Yeah, I knew you liked that one. He chastens us. How many love a good chastening from time to time? I mean, Pastor Ed, don't you love that stuff? I mean, yo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, boy, a good chastening is pretty good for you, huh? How many know sometimes we need a little chastening in our lives, don't we? Yeah, we need a little chastening. The fact is, there was once a young boy, and he was trying to explain to his mother. He says, you know what? You're supposed to spoil me. And she said, huh? Oh, yes, yeah, so I learned that in Sunday school class. Your Sunday school teacher told you that I'm supposed to spoil you? Oh, yes, it's in the Bible, Mother. It's in the Bible. You're supposed to spoil me. And she's thinking, what do you mean it's in the Bible? Yes, Mother, it's in there. Because my Sunday school teacher taught me that today. The fact is, I can tell you where it said. Okay, you go ahead and show me what your Sunday school teacher told you. It says right in there that you're supposed to spare the rod and spoil the child. Look it up. It's in there. Pastor, it's in there. Spare the rod and spoil the child. And so he tried to convince his mother that the punishment has to stop and get all the bicycles I want, right? Spare the rod, spoil the child. That's what it says in Scripture, but that's not what that means, is it? No, it doesn't. And so we know that God loves us enough that he's going to what? Chasten us. And at the time of the chastening, do we think that's good for us? No. How many were chastened in your lives by your mother or father? And how many of you know right now that was a good thing for you? How many of you know without the chastening in your life, you might not be here? True? And at the time of receiving it, Eric, we delighted in that, huh? Well, that one time that you got it was probably no big deal, but the many times I got it? I mean, like, you know, you're outside with your friends and your friends called you on the phone and you said you want to play ball. I said, no, I'm going to get chastened this afternoon. I got to get home. I can't wait to go home and be chastened for a while, right? Glenn, you probably never were chastened in your life, huh? Never. And God loves us so much that sometimes he needs to put us back on the path, doesn't he? Now, at the time of the chastening, we know we don't like it. And we know what? We're still kids. We're adopted into his family, but we're still kids. And how many of you know that when you were growing up, you knew far more than your father and mother ever knew? Right? Fact is, you want to know what log did they fall off of, because they ain't got any smarts. But the older that you got, the smarter they got. Isn't that kind of crazy? Well, guess what, brothers and sisters? Check it out. And the older we get from infancy to youth to maturity, guess who else gets smarter? He does. You see, when you're an infant, you think you know more than him. I know that's true. We know more than him. And you know how I know that's true? Can I begin to tell you how many committee meetings I've been at, not at Faith Community Christian Church, at Faith, I've been at many committee meetings, we didn't invite him in the meeting. Because we knew more than he knew. How many ever been in a meeting like that? We don't invite him. It's not a spiritual thing. We're going to let you know when it's your turn. It's true. And God sometimes needs to punish us to get us back on the path. He chastens those he loves. Let me ask you a question, brothers and sisters. Would a parent show more love or less love in the absence of punishment for their child or discipline? Less. Right? Dr. James Dobson, he explained something many, many years ago, and I remember reading it. Dr. James Dobson, anybody know Dr. James Dobson? He said this. He said, punishment is something you do to a child, and discipline is something you do for a child. That's pretty smart. Punishment is something you do to a child, and discipline is something you do for a child. God disciplines us. And you remember when you said, I promise to serve you all the days of my life? And you promised and you said, and I make you Lord of my life? He thought you meant that. And because he thought you meant that, guess what? He means it too. Now, Sissy, when our kids were growing up, I'm not going to tell you which one of our children she referred this to, but she did say, I'm always going to find out because God's going to tell me. Because you're a child of God, right? And God is going to let me know. How many had parents like that too? How many of you parents in this room, you know because God lets you know, right? He lets you know. He lets you know. And so God chastens us. He chastens those who he loves. How many of you at times feel, oh, you feel so loved? Because he chastens you, right? How many of you are really loving kids and loving? Colin, you should raise your hand, Grandson Colin. And so he chastens us. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 13, 5 to 6.
Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?
Wow. God said what? I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. That's got some goods and some bads, really. You know, let's talk about the good, right? God said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. In fact, as Jesus said in the Gospel of St. Matthew during the Great Commission, he said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I'll be with you until the ends of the age. Now again, I know my finite mind. I can't wrap my arm around, you know, end of time. But how long is end of time? Forever. That's like one day more than you can count. And then when you counted that and added one more day, guess what you got to do? All over again, and we'll do what? Add another one. Well, Jesus said, I'll never leave it, nor will I forsake you, but I'll be with you to the end of the age. And what I like to ask people, especially in the seminars that I give, I say to them, how many of you feel sometimes that God has abandoned you? It's one of those gotchas. You ask that question, how many of you at least one time in your life has ever felt that God has abandoned you and God's just not with you? And guess how many hands go up? All of them. I should have asked you it. How many times have you felt that God has abandoned you? And I say, well, we got a problem. Because God's not a liar. God said, I'll never what? Leave you. And if God said that, guess what, Lori? He didn't. So who left who? You left him. It's not that he left you. You left him. Because God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you to the end of the age. And that means in your good times, in your bad times, that means in your calmness, in your storms, it means in your trials, in your tribulation, it means in your peaceful times, your anxious times, your stressful times, it means all times. Guess what? He is what? With you. How many think that's pretty good stuff? Yeah. Most of the time. Hey, how many remember like your senior in high school? Senior in high school. How many remember senior high school? Senior in high school? Can you remember back that far? Two still can. Pastor Ed, how you doing with that? You doing okay with that senior high school thing? I'm struggling. You know what's really bad? When you see somebody on the street, excuse me, Pastor Ed, for doing this, but I seen somebody the other day, I think about a month ago or so, said, do you know Ed Rogers? Well, yeah, I know him. I was at the funeral. I told him. I said, yeah, I know Pastor Ed Rogers. Do you know he's a pastor? I said, no way. Yeah, he's a pastor now. I said, yeah, I know. I appointed him. And you know what the guy says to me? No way. Yeah, way. And then, you know, the guy's pretty old looking. I graduated with him. I went, no way. How many when you see somebody, you know, who really looks old to you, and you go, oh my God, he was a year before me, or a year after me, going, oh, I look that bad? This is really bad. When you remember you were a senior on graduation night, right? Senior. And, you know, you graduated, and you still had your little gown on, you had your little hat on, and a bunch of your friends said, hey, you want to go out and do some celebration? How many would have invited your father to go with you? Get in the car, Dad. Come on, let's go. Would you do that? Huh? Would you invite your parents? Hey, come on, get in the car. Would you do that? Hey, how about think of the wildest party that you've ever been at? You know the one they took the Tylenol, they put it in the Pepsi bottles? Am I the only one that ever did that? Well, Colin, that's why I'm the way I am. I mean, think about, you know, the thing you got involved in, right? The thing you ever got involved in, whatever it was, like the wildest thing you've ever done in your entire life. And before you just ask your father, mom, say, hey, get in the car. We're going to go have some fun. Oh, no, Tammy's going, no. Oh, she's just kidding. She didn't. Guess what? You're taking the Lord with you. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You're taking the Lord with you. Wait a minute. You mean, you know, kind of like this. You're sitting at the computer, and you don't think nobody's watching. It's just little old you. Little old you and little old computer. You and little IBM. Mm. You know what you should do? This is really cool. Pull up another chair. Come on, Jesus. Take a look at this. Well, you might as well. Because guess why? Colin, I'm with you. Let that sink in for just a second. Let that mill around a little bit. Delete, 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 delete. He's got perfect recall. Forever. That's pretty tough, huh? Just when you thought you got away with it. Hey, you go to the bar. This is cool. Go to the bar. Push back a couple. Hey, Jesus, what are you drinking? Get one up there to my friend and have a couple, too. Guess what? Might as well. Because guess why? He's there. Hey, you know, you're in a group of friends, and you're talking about the other guy in the other office. You don't think he knows about it? You know, I think he's the stupidest, craziest. Hey, Lord, what do you think? Guess why? He's with you. Wow. Or you're at the beach, right, and you see some honey going by in a little bikini, and you're thinking, say, hey, Lord, what do you think? Pretty hot, huh? Guess what? Might as well. Why? He's there. Anybody happy about that? Anybody happy about that? I think you get my point, right? He said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I'll be with you for where? All the time. Huge benefit. See, when you become a disciple, guess what? When you're sitting at the computer and you're just ready to turn on, because he said, uh-uh, not on my watch. Oh, no. That's not what a disciple does. Oh, no. And you know when you're getting ready to talk about somebody, when you're a disciple, it's good for you. You know why? He said, shut your mouth. You want to talk about that person? Do it on your knees. Because you know that person you're just about ready to talk about? I died for them, too. I died for them, too. How many are glad the Lord's with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It tells us another benefit. It says, and we talked about, you know, God comforting us, we're able to comfort others for the same comfort that He gives to us. The same comfort that we receive, we are able to impart upon somebody else. You know what, brothers and sisters? In my trials and my storms and my tribulations that Sissy and I have from time to time, I don't want somebody practicing Christianity to help me out. I really don't. I really do not want a practicing Christian. I want an expert. I want somebody that's got some scars and some calluses on their knees calling me on and helping me out. How many want people like that too? I don't want a practicing one. I want the expert. Give me somebody that's been there and done that. Now, I told you, one of the rewards of being a disciple is having God as your father. But guess what? Comes responsibility with that. Remember when I told you that God gave me a wonderful gift? Of course, now I told you her age because I said 57 years ago. Oh, we didn't like to look like that 57 years old. That's pretty good, right? But with that gift comes what on me? Responsibilities. Doesn't it? With her as my gift and me as her gift, that's yes, responsibilities for that. And God says, with me as your father, you it's a wonderful gift, but you have responsibilities with that. There comes something you got to do. Let's turn in our Bibles, please. And let us turn to James chapter 4, verse 7. And this is one of the responsibilities that we all have, is having God as our Father.
Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Submit. You know, that's kind of like a bad word for some of us. Submit? I got to submit? Oh, yeah. Oh, wait a second. I'm not too cool on the submission part. I'm pretty cool on the learning part. I'm even pretty cool on the imitating part. But that submission part? I got to submit to him?
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you were little kids growing up, didn't you have to submit to your mother and your father? And if you didn't submit, then what happened to you?
Chastened.
Well, I know that you would say that. And I know when I asked you that question, that was probably the first answer that you thought about. And what happened when you didn't submit? How many were thinking punishment? You see, something happened before that. Trouble. When you did not submit to your mother and your father's wishes, chances are pretty good you got yourself in trouble. Either physically or by the law. Pastor Ed, you never met anybody here professionally, did you, outside of the pastorate, did you? I think of it, okay. And so, one of our responsibilities of having God as our Father is submission. We have to submit to Him. Now listen to me, brothers and sisters. God as our Father is real polite. He doesn't beat you into submission. And there are, in some cultures, especially in the Muslim world, if you're a woman, let's be real, if you're a woman in the Muslim world, what happens to you? You will submit. And if you do not submit, what happens? Well, even Sue said what? It's really, really in the Muslim world, it's not this, it's what? Rocks. The stones. Right? The religion of peace. The religion of love. If you're a woman in the Muslim world, if you get caught talking to a man that's not a relative, what will happen to you? I watched a video the other day on the computer. It was about, I was looking at Muslim and Islam. I was looking at it to be able to teach a course I'm going to be doing. And I watched a video of a woman being beaten with a rod in the street publicly. And I'm looking and I'm saying, what the problem? She had her burqa on, she had the veil on, you could see her eyes, right? But there were, and it wasn't just her, it was other men. Beating, beating, beating with this rod, this big stick. Beating, beating, beating. And then the caption said, because she talked to a man that was not her relative. Being, how many of you knew they did that? Being beaten. Beaten. Can a woman drive?
No.
Can a woman attend a university?
No.
Well, we have a polite God. He does not beat you into submission. He doesn't. He wants you to what? Submit. If you don't want to submit, then don't submit. But you deal with the consequences of it. But with God as our Abba Daddy, one of the responsibilities is to submit to Him willingly. Because when we say He is our Lord, how many said Jesus is your Lord? We know He said Savior, but we said He's our Lord. Do you know what that the connotation of that is? When there's a Lord, there's a what? A servant. There's a Lord, has a Lord over what? The servants. And so when you say He's your Lord, you're saying you're His servant. Servitude. Wow. You mean not just churchgoer? Uh-uh. Because if you're just a churchgoer, not that that's bad, but if you're just a churchgoer, chances are pretty good He's not your what? He's your Lord. Because you're down here. Mature Christians, He's where? He's up there. He's the Lord. We'll continue with the rest of the study next week. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You so much for the opportunity to become disciples, Lord. We thank You so much for the opportunity to have God as our Father. And that He gives us so many gifts. Father, thank You so much for the precious gifts that we've been given. Another human being that we can call ours? Lord, how could we be so blessed? Thank You for that, Lord. And we find You in our times of trouble as our comfort. Lord, You're the master of all comfort, and we give You praise. We thank You for that. And Lord, You punish us and discipline us and chasten us and help us stay on the straight and narrow. Thanks for that, Lord. Thank You for that. And thank You for being with us every minute of every day. And Lord, where we fall short in our submission to You, we renew that to You now, that we will submit to You, Lord. We submit to You not because You make us, but because we love You. And all of God's children said, Amen.